Thank you, men. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Genesis. As we look at the lives of Esau and Jacob, we have a great historical picture of the difference of two different kinds of fathers. And as we look at these two men, I think it would be very instructive as to what kind of fathers that we need to be. Obviously, there's a larger lesson. There's a lesson to all of us because we have a picture of a secular man versus a spiritual man. And we are going to take a few moments and to look at a few facts of the story. Abraham was chosen by God to be the seed of Jesus Christ. This is the most important thing happening on the earth. The seed of Jesus Christ. Isaac had a son. Abraham had a son. His son was Isaac. That covenant was passed from Abraham to Isaac. Isaac, now his seed, was going to be the seed of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. The one who was going to pay the penalty of man's sin, to redeem them from sin, to rescue them from the darkness of hell and Satan. Isaac has two sons, Esau and Jacob. The great question is, which of the two? Which of the two will become the seed of Jesus Christ? The most important thing happening on the earth. Which one of them? Typically in the Bible, in the patriarchal period, there's a couple things associated, thank you, with being the head of the family. He was actually had the role of being the spiritual priest of the family. Abraham, as he met with God, he built altars. He fellowshipped with God, the God of heaven, of whom he was a servant. Isaac, in a lesser degree, but as well as the spiritual head of his family, built altars. As the spiritual leader, as the spiritual priest of the family. And that was the human side of the choice of God upon his life, that he was the seed of Jesus Christ. In the Jewish culture, in the Mideastern culture, Semitic culture, the firstborn child, firstborn son, had a very important role. The firstborn son always received a double inheritance. Double of all the rest of the children. That was the material part. But the spiritual part was that the firstborn was to be the spiritual leader of the home. He was to make sure that the family retained the godly seed. He was to build, so to speak, the altar, and lead the family in worship, and to be about the most important thing in life. The soul, the God of heaven, man's salvation. As we come to this passage of Scripture, we find that Esau and Jacob were remarkably different. The Bible tells us a couple things. The Bible tells us, as Esau came out first, that Jacob had his hand on his heel. We don't really know what that means. We'll get to Hosea 12, I hope, a little bit later. But in Hosea 12, God is commending Jacob because he had his hand on the heel of Esau. This is how I take it. Even in the womb, Jacob was concerned about the spiritual. Even in the womb, Jacob wanted to come out first. That's how I see it. Maybe it isn't that way, but I see a picture of Jacob trying to pull back Esau so he could be the firstborn, so he could be the spiritual head of the family. In Hosea 12, God is commending Jacob because he had his hand upon the heel of Esau. Esau was a secular man. He was interested in earthly things. Now, I want to make sure that we understand God's opinion so you don't think I'm merely giving you my opinion. In Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about Esau. And God makes a statement about Esau. Just so you don't think I'm making this up. Hebrews 12:15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be deceived. Brings up the principle of bitterness, and Esau was a bitter man. And he blamed others for his problems. And so the subject of bitterness brought up the most famous bitter person in the Bible. That's Esau. Most famous bitter person in the Bible. What is the Bible? And what does God say about Esau? It says, lest there be any fornicator, a person with low morals, or profane person as Esau. Profane person. Profane is the opposite of holy. In other words, he was secular. He was a materialist. He was not spiritually minded. Esau was bitter at Jacob. He used the excuse that Jacob tricked him, but that's not the problem. Esau was bitter because he wanted the material blessing, in my opinion, he wanted the material blessing of the firstborn. And he didn't get it. He didn't want the spiritual responsibility of being the firstborn. He wanted the material blessing. And because he lost that material blessing, in his selfishness, he became bitter. God calls him a profane man. Calls him a secular, materialistic thinker. Now, as we have God's insight into it, let's go see what the story says. It says in verse 27, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter. A man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. The Bible says that Jacob sod pottage. And Esau came from the field and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. For I am faint, therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Now the scripture gives us an insight that Jacob had some very major problems. At this point he wasn't saved. But he was spiritually minded. He understood and he wanted to be the spiritual head of his family. Esau says, no problem. I don't want that anyhow. I don't want the responsibility of being the spiritual head of the family. I don't want that responsibility. That's not important to me. There's other things that are more important to me, like hunting. Boy, that's what I really want. But be spiritual man, I don't care about that. He said, no problem. I'll sell it to you. I'm so hungry, I could eat a bear. He didn't say it that way. But he said, I'm so hungry, it doesn't matter. All I care about is my stomach right now. And so, he said, you got a deal. And so Jacob says, okay, swear to me. Swear to me you're going to give me your birthright. That's mine. Okay, I do. And then the Bible says, and Jacob got Esau bread and pottage, and he'd eat and drink and rose up and went his way. And the Bible says, God says, thus Esau despised his birthright. He despised his birthright. You know what he despised? He despised one of the greatest privileges in all the world. You know what he despised? He despised one of the most important things of life. You know what he despised? Being the spiritual leader for God in his house. One of the men after our Sunday school class said, boy, that's a lot of responsibility. And I said, yes, but a tremendous privilege, a tremendous opportunity. Some people look at it as, I wouldn't want to have to waste my time doing that. Why would I want to waste my time leading the family in Bible devotions? Why would I want to waste my time serving God? Why would I want to waste my time being a soul winner? Why would I want to waste my time being a man of God? Hey, life is all about having fun. And you know, there's young people that think that way. There's young men that need to make some decisions for God. There's some fathers here that are just say, well, let my wife, she can do the studying. She can make the decisions. She can be the spiritual person. I don't want the responsibility. That's the line of Esau. God says he despises a birthright. Now, as we think about this, we need to understand that this is bigger than just this. This had to do with being the seed of Jesus Christ. Can there be anything more important? Can there be anything more important? And here was a man that said, I don't care. It's not good, is it? It's not good. But you know, you think about this. Esau became a nation. And Jacob became a nation. Esau became the nation of Edom. Jacob became the nation of Israel. And Esau's descendants opposed the people of God. The descendants of Esau were unsaved. Thousands of them. Unsaved. Why? Because there's one man that said, I don't care about the spiritual. I've enjoyed my life on this earth, and that's all I care about is earthly things. I don't really care about the souls of my descendants. You know, every one of us here, especially young people, probably, if the Lord doesn't come, you young people are going to have thousands of descendants. Not one or two, thousands. I mean, do you have any idea how many descendants that you will have? And the fact is that what you do with your life will have a great impact and determine what they will be. Now, of course, you know the whole study about the Jukes family versus the Edwards family. The Jukes was Mr. Jukes was a drunk, and this in the 1700s, and they made it a study of his descendants. And the same time, there's a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards, a great preacher of God, and they did a study of his descendants, and they traced it all the way back to the 20th century. And of course, I studied that in college, and I'm sure you did too. And Mr. Jukes, I think his name was Andrew Jukes, had a lot of descendants. A multitude of them had gone to jail. A multitude of them were murderers. A multitude of them were drunks. A multitude of them were just plain bums. And et cetera, et cetera. Those were his descendants. Thousands of them. Jonathan Edwards had descendants too. They trace the line of Jonathan Edwards and they find scores of preachers. They find college presidents. They find doctors. They find lawyers. They find a great host of upstanding citizens. You know what? They're all the descendants of one man. And you know, the world's cry is for you and me to be selfish. The world's cry is for us to have a nice little life, live it for ourselves, and be pleasure seekers, and throw off the leadership that God gives every man ought to have over his family as a godly, loving, kind, spiritual man, loves God. Throw it off! Only trouble is, it will affect a multitude of descendants. A multitude. We live in a day in which young people say, I don't care, I don't care. That's Esau. He despised his birthright. Now Esau, the Bible says, was a profane man. Esau was not saved. Esau was a monotheist. He believed in God. He knew there was one God. He didn't worship idols as far as we know. He was not an idolater. He knew about the God of heaven. But he didn't care about spiritual things. He didn't care about spiritual things. Why get saved? That's not important. Why be a spiritual man? That's not important. That just interferes with my life. That's what he's saying, right? Nonetheless, take on the responsibility of being the spiritual head. You know, we live in a day in which more than ever, men are not spiritual leaders. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Some of it is just the times in which we live. Some of it has to do with all the sin that is out there that grabs people's hearts at a young age and takes away their soul. And you know, a lot of that sin is aimed at young men to get them involved in sensuality, to make them rebellious against authority and live for feelings and how you feel, drugs and all of that. But you know, we all have a nation, in one sense of the word, we all have a nation in our line. We all have a nation. These two men represent that. These two men represent one man who said, I don't need to be saved. I don't need Jesus Christ. I don't care about being in his line. Spiritual things don't matter to me. And Jacob and his faults and his sinfulness, despite his sinfulness, he said, you know what? The spiritual, that's the most important. You know, we as people, it's hard for us to sometimes like Jacob because he was kind of a tricky guy, you know, and maneuvering all the time. He had his faults. But you know, God had good things to say about Jacob. And I think we should listen to what God says about Jacob rather than maybe how we feel about Jacob. So turn to Hosea chapter 12. And these are words to Israel as they have departed from the Lord. And they're saying, and he's saying, you know what? You need to be like your father. You need to be like your father. You need to return unto me. Your father had a heart for spiritual things. This nation was born because of your father and who he was. And so it says in Hosea 12 verse 3, it says, he took his brother by the heel in the womb. And by his strength, he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed and prevailed. He wept. He made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel. And there he spake with us, even the Lord God of hosts. And the Lord is his memorial. And so he applies it. Verse 6, therefore you, turn thou you to the Lord, just like your father. And so here is Jacob. God has commendable things to say for him, even though he was sinful. You know, Jesus said, I'm come to seek and to save that which is lost. I say Esau is the kind of person who had everything together. He was kind of like that manager at the office who could administrate the office perfectly. He could get everything done flawlessly. He just had all this ability. And later on, we find out that he had all these great herds of cattle. He was a great businessman. He didn't need God. He had it together. You know, there's a lot of people, they got it together. They're an inventor, they're some kind of scientist, or they have some kind of ability that, boy, you know, they got it together in life. They don't need God. You know, that doesn't impress God at all. God's not impressed with that. Now, it's good that a person has it together. But Esau, he didn't need God. He is too smart. You know, some people are too smart for their britches. Send them right to hell. Some people are way too successful. Send them right to hell. Now, Jacob is a better representative of you and I because we're sinners. And we need God. Jesus said, I'm come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's a better idea of who we are. And that's what Jesus said. I'm come to seek and to save that which is lost. Not that every wasn't. The fact is everybody's lost, but there's only some people who will admit it. There's only some people who will see that they're admit that they're weak, that they are a sinner, that they have a sinful heart. They have a great need for God and his forgiveness and his need. And Jacob was that kind of man. You know, you can be the richest person in this world, but if you die and go to hell, your life is a failure. You can make $1 million or $10 million. But if you despise the spiritual, what good is it? It's no good. And so God commended Esau as a man who sought after spiritual things. And he tells of the story of the day that Jacob, how he sought spiritual things. And he speaks of the day that that Jacob came to the end of himself. He was going to meet his brother who had threatened to kill him for his maneuverings. And there, as he was going to go back into the promised land, he met the Lord. As he prayed, the Lord appeared unto him. And the Bible says in Genesis 32, and Jacob was left alone, Genesis 32, 24, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with them. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, Jacob said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." You know, this certainly speaks of spiritual perseverance. Jacob recognized that he needed God in his life. He needed God's power in his life. He needed God's hand upon his life. And whatever it took to get God's blessing, he was not going to let it go. Now think of Esau. What did he think about God's blessing? "Oh, give up your birthright." "Not a problem. Not a problem. No problem. Oh, just give me that meal. And that's all I care about." What about Jacob? Jacob said, "God, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. If I have to be here," I'm putting words in there, "till 30 days, I'll not let you go." He sought the spiritual. You know, we don't have much of that nowadays. We have Brill Cream Christians. You know what Brill Cream was, right? Little dab of do you, right? That's the kind of Christianity we had today, little Brill Cream Christianity. Oh, I get a little dab 20 minutes on Sunday morning, and that's all I need. Little dab of Christianity. Live the rest of my life the way I want. Little dab here. You know, maybe I'll read my Bible 2 minutes. You know, Brill Cream devotions, little dab of do you. You know, no seriousness about being in God's house, no seriousness about prayer meeting, no seriousness about personal prayer, no seriousness about devotions, no seriousness about confessing our sins, no seriousness about making sure we're right with God, no seriousness about it. Brill Cream Christianity. Jacob said, "I'll not let you go." You know, if you read the old books, people used to seek the Lord. They used to seek the Lord. Salvation was, you know, not 1, 2, 3, 4, and there you go. It was, "Seek ye the Lord." I understood this was a serious stuff. This is the most important thing in the world. But we just don't have that. We don't have that today. I don't have it like I do. We live in a different day. The spiritual really isn't that important. We're just way too comfortable. But Jacob was a man who said, "You know, I need God. I need God. You know, a lot of times people don't think about what they miss in life. You know, I think of the fact that sometimes parents think, oh, teen camp out, that's really not important. We can do without it. We're fine. You don't understand how God works. You better not miss the opportunity for God's Spirit to work in your life and change your life. That's the Spirit of Jacob. So we have two men. One that knew about God, but he didn't really care to get saved. We have two men. They had the opportunity to be the seed of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God, the one who would die for all of man's sin, the human seed of the divine Son of God. And one said, I don't care. Doesn't mean anything to me. Our heartthrob ought to be the most important thing that could happen in my life is God would use me. What's life all about? You live 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and then it's over. What did you do for God? That's all that we're going to take up. The rest is just going to burn up, isn't it? Jacob, he cared. He said, that's important. It represented a way of daily life. Represented salvation. Represented the seed of the Messiah. It represented this whole issue of spiritual leadership. Yep, you know what? I want to be a spiritual leader. You know, I think that any young man who's in touch with God, one of the things they're thinking is, you know what? When I get married, I can raise a family for God. If God gives me children, the greatest thing that can happen is that those children be godly and serve God with their lives. I want this godly seed to go on. Spiritual leadership. I want to be the kind of father that we have family devotions. I want to be a father that says, we're going to prayer meeting. I'm going to be a father that says, nope, you're not going there. You're not doing that. That sinful place, you're not going there. I want to be that kind of father. I want to be a spiritual leader. I want to be the kind of father that says, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what every young man ought to have in their heart, and every young lady, they ought to have in their heart that they're going to marry somebody like that. It also represents a way of life. Living for this world. You know, it's pretty hard to build a church in northern Wisconsin. Do you ever notice that? I like the Northwoods, but so do a lot of other people. But they like it for the wrong reason. Because they want to spend their whole time hunting, fishing, boating, snowmobiling. You know, all that stuff is okay. But only if it's second to Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the only time it's okay. But if it interferes with Jesus Christ, we live in a world where Jesus doesn't matter much, does he? And that's what Esau represents. The worldly things are more important than the eternal things. That's where my heart is. That's what I care about. And that's what my passion is. I wonder today, who represents your life? Esau? Unsaved, unconverted, no passion for God, heart is in the world? Or do you want to be like Jacob? You know, Jacob had his faults. And they were pretty big. But he understood something. Spiritual was the most important. He had a heart. I believe he had a heart for the spiritual, and that's represented by pulling his brother's leg back, trying to get first. Not because he wanted to be first, but because he wanted to be a spiritual leader. He had a passion. He had a passion. He said, God, I'll not let you go. I'll not let you go, Lord, till you bless me. He had a passion. He looked at the responsibility of being a father. And you know, we live in a really sad day, don't we? There's a lot of men, when they think of being a father, they just think of immorality. They don't think of the responsibility of bringing a child, a soul, into this world. But every responsibility also means a great opportunity. And that's what Jacob thought of. The opportunity to put the spiritual first in his life, the opportunity to be the seed of the Messiah. I think we can be encouraged, and God in his mercy saw that in Jacob. May that be in our heart. You know, maybe you've lost your vision. It's easy to lose our vision, isn't it? It's easy to lose our vision for our family. It's easy to lose our vision of life. Maybe you're a young person and maybe somehow by the grace of God today, boy, the Spirit of God got a hold of your heart a little bit and you got your eyes open. Hey, there's a purpose for my life. It can make a difference for God. I want to be like Jacob. Now, we got to make this Father's Day a little bit. You know, every father needs a wife that says, go get him. Every father needs a wife that says, I'm behind you 100%. You want to stand for God? I'm all for it. You want to have godly convictions in your home? I'm not going to buck you. I'm going to say, praise the Lord. Go for it. You want to be in church every service? I'm with you, and I'm with you with a smile. And I'll be praying with all my heart that we too, as a couple, can make a difference for God. Every good father needs a wife on his side. urging them on, praying them on, helping them on, standing with them in the hardest of times makes a big difference. It's all the difference in the world. It is an easy job to be a leader. Sometimes you call it friendly fire. Sometimes you get shot from the back because you're out in front. It's not easy to be a leader. You got to plow the pathway. It's not easy. The devil's got all his opposition. Someone has to break the ice. That's the man's job. Someone has to have faith when no one else has faith. Someone has to have vision to see the day and direction of the day. Say, nope, we're not going that way. It's a hard job. It's not easy. But God's grace is always sufficient. If He's called us to do it, He'll give us the grace to do it. It's not in us, it's in Him. Accept the job. It's not if you can do it or not. Jacob knew he couldn't do it. He said, Lord, I'll not let you go till you bless me. And the same thing with us. Men, we need to get a hold of God. We need to get a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God in our life. New energy, new vision, new purpose. Say, I'm going to do the job God has called me to do. May this be a day in which we rededicate our life to the great task of being spiritual leaders for God. If you aren't a spiritual leader, thank God. God says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're mad enough to confess that you haven't been a spiritual leader, that you have failed, God will forgive you and He'll give you the grace to be what you ought to be. And all it takes is that moment of turning to Christ. Now, if you're not saved, you have a choice. Wonderful opportunity to live for the eternal or to waste your life living for the temporary. There's many on that wide road that leads to destruction. There's only a few on the narrow path that leads to life everlasting. And there's only one way, the blood of Jesus Christ. But it is sufficient to cleanse us, to save us, and to make us new. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the great story in the Bible that teaches us a great spiritual eternal truth, Lord. And Lord, we live in a day of Esau's. On the radio, on the TV, mocking the things of God, mocking the heroes of the past, mocking holiness and godliness. Oh, we live in a day, Lord, of Esau's. But Lord, we're reminded it doesn't matter what people think. What really matters is your opinion and what you know and what is really taking place in our life. And I pray that today would be a day that, Lord, that young men would say, I'm going to be a spiritual leader. I am going to take the responsibility gladly as an opportunity from heaven to serve Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that men that are here today would renew themselves in that task of being a spiritual leader and go the next step in their lives, turning from sin, turning from apathy, and Lord, giving themselves anew and afresh. I pray, Lord, that you would work in our midst. And even today would be a day of victory as we are reminded of the great opportunity. Lord, help people not to quit the race because they're discouraged through the difficulties. Help them to, Lord, to recommit themselves for the opportunity that is ahead of them. And I know that, Lord, that you will be glorified in it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the most important question, do you know Jesus Christ? Are you one of those persons that just is kind of, in the past, been kind of nominal about spiritual things? It didn't matter. But today, the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. You've missed the most important thing in life. You're making it second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, but not the first. What good would life be if you died and went to hell? It wouldn't be any good at all. And you say, you know, I haven't put spiritual things as important in my life. But God is showing me today that's wrong. And there needs to be a change in my life, a turning to God. And by an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, pray for me. God's dealing with my life today. My soul is in need of turning to Jesus Christ. Anyone here today, just lift up your hand. You might be. Okay. Praise God. Who else? Okay, you can put that hand down. Amen. God bless you. You're here today, you say, you know what, I'm a Christian. Young person, you're an adult. You can point to a time in your life that you accepted Jesus Christ. But you know, you aren't acting like it. You aren't acting like it. You aren't taking that spiritual leadership seriously. And you say, you know what? God's dealing with me today. I need to make an about face here. And it's not going to happen by accident. It has to happen on purpose. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to make an about face. I need to take that spiritual leadership in my home, take it seriously, raise my family for God, do everything I can that God wants me to be as a spiritual leader. And you need to make an about face. And today is the day to do it. Would you just raise your hand and say, I'm yielding to the Lord. I know that's me. Amen. Praise God. Number of different hands. Okay? Amen. Okay? And you know all that involves. Not just intention, it's decision. And perhaps you're here today and you say, you know what? I've been trying. But you know, I've lost my vision of what I really ought to be doing. And I need to kick things back into gear like I ought to. And the Lord has spoken to me about not missing family devotions. The Lord has spoken to me about not missing services. The Lord has spoken to me about being serious about training my children for God. Maybe you're a wife here and you say, you know what, I haven't been a support of my husband that I ought to be. I've been pulling back instead of pushing forward. I haven't been helping. And God is speaking to my heart. And maybe both of you today would just lift up your hand before the Lord saying, yep, Lord, I see it. We're recommitting ourselves with new energy to go forward for God. Anyone here today, God has spoken to your heart about that. Okay. Amen. Others? Okay. Amen. Others? Okay. Amen. Now, Lord, help and seal these decisions and lives. Might you be glorified, for you know what is in our hearts. And may these decisions be real, not in our strength, Lord, but in Thee. And in your grace. And Lord, we pray for those souls that need to be saved, neglecting eternity. And I pray that they might be not be able to leave here without the conviction of the Spirit of God following them. As they think about eternity in the lake of fire and the Savior who died for them, who longs to save them. And so, Lord, bless these important decisions on Father's Day. I pray in Jesus' name.